guitar.
No fear. No political correctness. No wokeism. You're listening to Underground USA.
Thanks for downloading, listening, sharing, and subscribing. My name is Frank Salvato. Before we get to the subjects of President Biden, his arrogance transmitted to the Middle East, and the troublesome floating pier he wants to put on the coast of Gaza, I wanted to shed some light on the crime committed by the so-called January 6th House Committee. After all the chest thumping and insistence that Donald Trump was an insurrectionist Bond villain, the real villains in it all are the members of the January 6th House Committee themselves. Not only did the committee suppress video from the surveillance cameras inside the Capitol building, but now comes news they hid evidence that exonerates President Trump from one of the chief accusations against him, that he offered no help. The Epoch Times reports.
A previously hidden transcript of an interview conducted by a U.S. House of Representatives panel that investigated the January 6, 2021 breach of the U.S. Capitol has been revealed, undermining a committee claim. Anthony Ornato, who was the White House Deputy Chief of Staff during the breach, told the committee that he overheard Mark Meadows, who was then Chief of Staff, on the phone with Washington Mayor Muriel Bowser. According to the transcript, Mr. Meadows wanted to ensure Ms. Bowser had everything she needed. Mr. Meadows wanted to know if she need any more guardsmen, Mr. Ornato testified. And I remember the number 10,000 coming up of, the president wants to make sure that you have enough. You know, he is willing to ask for 10,000. I remember that number. Now that you said it, it reminded me of it. Ms. Boder said that she was all set, Mr. Ornato recalled. Mr. Ornato was speaking to the House Select Committee to investigate the January 6th attack on the United States Capitol. The committee said in its final report that it found no evidence supporting the idea that former President Donald Trump ordered 10,000 troops to be ready for January 6th. The former J6 Select Committee apparently withheld Mr. Ornato's critical witness testimony from the American people because it contradicted their predetermined narrative, Representative Barry Loudermilk, who released the transcript, said in a statement. Mr. Ornato's testimony proves what Mr. Meadows has said all along. President Trump did in fact offer 10,000 National Guard troops to secure the U.S. Capitol, which was turned down, Mr. Loudermilk, the chairman of the House Administration Committee's Subcommittee on Oversight, added.
This revelation of illegal activity on the part of the January 6th committee should come down especially hard on former Congresswoman Liz Cheney and former Congressman Adam Kinzinger, two people who abdicated their responsibility to the truth to further a political agenda. Because the testimony was suppressed and not included in the final report itself becomes proof that a crime has been committed. Remember, those who testified before the committee did so under oath. That means the official report, submitted to the full Congress, was a fabrication on the level of the Steele dossier. The committee perjured itself in its report to Congress and the American people. If we are ever going to begin our journey down the road where government is more important than politics, where truth is more valuable than opportunism and power, the whole of the January 6th committee needs to be held responsible for the crime they committed in lying to Congress and the American people. This accountability, if we are going to admit that the soft touch of 21st century justice for the elitist class has to end, needs to carry prison sentences. And because this lie was used in an attempt to manipulate the 2024 general election, it should be seen as an attempt at insurrection itself, barring any of the committee members from holding elected federal office ever again. It's time the arrogance of the political class, on both sides of the aisle, ended with these criminals put in shackles and led to a holding cell until their day in court. Enough is enough. When we come back, my current segment, America's Third Watch, broadcast on the Genesis and Salem Broadcasting Networks.
You're listening to Underground USA.
Did you know that Yaupon is the only tea plant indigenous to the United States? Hi, I'm CJ, the owner of Emerald Coast Tea Company. We have a line of Yaupon teas and Yaupon tea blends that will open your eyes to tea that is literally made in the USA. Check out our entire line of teas at www.emeraldcoastteacompany.com. Honey, this ain't your mama's tea.
They're funding abortions, demanding Americans comply with their woke climate agenda. They teach people that the U.S. is a system of white supremacy while stripping away your Second Amendment rights. A California Democrat? No. It's Bank of America under CEO Brian Moynihan. There's enough people pushing political agendas in America. Your bank shouldn't be one of them. Bank of America. Their lies start with their name.
State Farm says they're a good neighbor, but would a good neighbor target five-year-olds for conversations about sexual identity? State Farm did. For 6 months, they asked employees to donate guides to being transgender to public schools. Books aimed at making kindergartners question their identity. How do parents know where State Farm put these books? What's State Farm doing about it? Visit AskStateFarmWhy.com.
News, insight, passion. AM 930, The Answer.
Let's go head right over and talk with Frank Salvato. He's been on deck here, getting ready, and we've got him this morning, Monday edition. Frank, good morning.
Mr. Kyle.
Good morning. Well, of course, Frank is from undergroundusa.com, everybody. That's the website. He's also the author of the book Nullification. Well, you know, Frank, I don't know, maybe the time change is getting to the president. He had to run out and say he was undocumented, you know, and I guess at least he didn't call him a newcomer.
You know, the guy is on teleprompter. So I'm going to suggest that this was done on purpose to throw some red meat out there for people who understand that this guy was an illegal. And then to walk it back for his base.
Interesting.
He's an election cycle now, so he's going to try and sell snake oil to every corner of the country. You know, we all know the guy was an illegal. He shouldn't have been here. He should have been detained up in New York when he was arrested the first time. Lakin would still be alive. But, you know, the guy doesn't make a mistake like that and then turn around and call her Lincoln.
Right. Exactly. Well, you know, you're right, Frank. By all accounts, Lakin Riley would still be with us. She probably would have been watching the Oscars or living her life, doing something normal. But because this person was here illegally, because the system also let everybody down on this, this is a completely preventable death that happened.
Absolutely. And she's just the one that made the news. Right. How many more Lakins are there out there? You know, we hear these stories all the time. They're becoming page 2, page 3, page 6, page 26 stories. When an illegal either assaults, rapes, or kills somebody who's a citizen here in the United States. And then if somebody calls them out on it, like President Trump did, you know, the media says, you're calling all immigrants criminals. Well, no, he's saying there's a criminal element to the people who are coming over the border. And that's indisputable. So we've got to start punching, and this is just rhetorical, people. We've got to start punching the media in the throat when they start acting like the petulant two-year-olds they pretend to be by saying stuff like that?
Well, the president seems to try to placate different groups, especially when it comes to building this pier in Gaza. A lot of this is just, you know, like you said, sort of red meat for other constituencies. You're trying to soften what's happening to him in Michigan, for example.
Well, he's catering to demographics over here, because that's what progressives do. They cobble together small groups of voters to equal 51. And that's how they've been going about elections the whole time. They're not sincere about anything except giving away money. They're just not. It's about, how do I get the votes? It's a Saul Alinsky thing. Win at all costs, slash and burn, ends justifies the means. So, you know, if you think anything that this guy's promising, and the pier in Gaza, it's got my eyebrows up a little bit, because that's just a way to actually have U.S. soldiers on that platform, but not have boots on the ground. I'm very disturbed by this. I find it very weird that we have to build a floating pier off Gaza.
Right, right. But, you know, something could go wrong, you know, God forbid, but they could be attacked very easily at that point, it would seem.
Absolutely. Then they have to defend themselves. And the way you hear Biden talking today about what will happen and what won't happen over in Israel and Gaza, what we're going to do and what we're going to demand and what we're going to expect, it's not his war.
Bingo.
You know, this is Benjamin Netanyahu. He's the one that gets to make the calls on this. Joe Biden doesn't have the right to say boo on this. He either supports his ally or he doesn't support his ally. And it's an election year, so he can't do that. So he has to insert himself into this thing. I find it reprehensible and sickening that this guy thinks that he can just bully a nation into how they get to defend themselves against a terrorist entity that launched a 9/11 style attack on the country of Israel. It makes me want to puke.
Well, you and me both. Very well said, Frank. But of course, part of that answer is that it is the election year, election cycle. And this is what they're coming up with. I was mentioning about some of these numbers coming out of Gaza. In fact, President Biden himself talked about the idea you can't have, what he, in his words, 30,000 Palestinians dead to try to eradicate Hamas. This is where he's talking about where he believes there's basically this red line about Israel going into Rafah, which oddly enough is where Hamas is at this point. But where are we getting these numbers? Or if they're coming from Hamas, isn't that just part and parcel of their misinformation?
Well, they are coming from Hamas, and that doesn't differentiate between fighters and civilians. In war, there's going to be collateral damage, and I don't mean to sound cold. It's just a fact. But would we have taken casualty numbers about what was going on from the Nazis or the Viet Cong or the North Koreans? No, we kept our own numbers, and we relied on them when it came to casualties and wounded and everything else. So just expecting the world to just accept Hamas's numbers when they are the enemy faction that are shooting back at Israeli soldiers, you know, you would expect them to pad the numbers. They want things to be horrific. They have a track record, and Reuters got caught exploiting this many years back in the early 2000s of Palestinian or Hamas operatives walking around with the same dead children from scene to scene within Gaza, trying to portray it as, okay, we had 18 children dead. It's the same kid. Wow. It's the same dead body. And Reuters just took it. They took it and ran with it. When they got called on the carpet about it, they had to walk it back. But the walk back was, you know, something very, very hidden in the shadows. They never trumpeted on the front page. So this is status quo for the media. What does Hamas say? Hamas says it's 100,000 dead. Well, it must be 100,000 dead. Well, no, it isn't. And that 30,000 includes all of the fighters that have been killed who went to war with Israel. So, indeed. You know, hey, if you attack somebody, they have the right to defend themselves. If you continuously attack them for decades, they have the right to eliminate you.
That's right. Well, and that's exactly what Netanyahu is trying to do. But when it comes to humanitarian aid, everybody wants humanitarian aid for people who really do need it. But there seem to be some real mixed messages coming from the Biden administration about supporting Israel, but then also trying to make sure that he's corralling Israel, kind of what you were talking about a little bit earlier. I mean, this is, you know, we're not supposed to run their war for them, but I guess because of that election energy that's happening, this is he's got to be seen as running the show.
You know, he's taking this leader of the free world thing as a dictatorial type of thing. You will do this, you will do that, we'll do this in Ukraine, we'll do this in Israel. Well, it's not a we, Joe. It isn't a we. You can either support your allies or not support your allies, but you do not have the right to tell other sovereign nations how to defend themselves. You just don't. It would be like Israel telling us after 9/11, you know, you really shouldn't go after Al-Qaeda that hard. I know you got them on the run and they're in the caves of Tora Bora, but don't you think that's a good time for a ceasefire? Because we don't know how many civilians are in those caves.
Right.
It wouldn't have flown. The American people would have said, why don't you mind your own business? And the Israeli people should be telling him, why don't you mind your own business? And I was very happy to see Netanyahu saying, thanks, but no thanks for your advice. We're going into Rafah.
Right. Exactly. Well, even at the Oscars, they had some of the celebrities, they had their pins or some other kind of indication that they supported the ceasefire. And then there were protesters that a lot of people were late, evidently, to the Oscar presentation because of that.
If the day that I start paying attention to the political whinings of the Hollywood glitterati is the day I hope a drone strike happens on my head. A more ignorant and uninformed group of people I have never understood to exist in the history of the United States. All you have to do is spend 15 minutes on Twitter reading Rob Reiner, and you'll realize how incredibly insane these people are and uninformed, uneducated, and arrogant about it. You know what? Don't care what you have to say. Really, I don't. Make a movie and not a remake.
No kidding. Yeah, it's something original. Yeah, I'd be interested to see what the ratings are, but certainly I think a lot of people tune out because, again, there was politics and they just don't want that.
It's hours of virtue signaling. You know, what can I wear to make sure that people know I'm on the right side of this political activist issue? I don't care. I really don't care. If you want to make a difference over there, get in your private jet, fly over there and hand out some food. You're going to find out how quick Hamas hates your guts.
No kidding. Yeah, you said it right and spot on, Frank. Absolutely. You know, something else political that's going on right now up in New York, this is from the New York Post. The FDNY brass is turning up the heat on pro-Trump firefighters who showered the state attorney general, Letitia James, with booze at a raucous promotion ceremony. You know, Frank, they're going over videos or something to figure out who booed her, and then so they can have some kind of action. You know, as a retired firefighter, what's your take on this whole thing?
Well, when you're in uniform, you represent the department. So I don't know if they were in uniform. Yeah, I don't know. You don't boo like that. You stand silent like the Supreme Court justices do during the State of the Union speech. If they weren't in uniform, they have every right to express their free speech political thoughts, and there should be no retribution at all. The fact that they're going after them individually using facial recognition is way over the top. This would be a memo that would go out department-wide saying, when you're in uniform, you represent the department, you can't be booing the attorney general, stay silent if you don't like him, you don't have to cheer. But you see, elected officials like to pad the crowds when no one wants to show up for a rally. Mm-hmm. And they usually do it with people who can't say no. So I wouldn't have booed. I would have turned my back. No one can say anything about that. Our hands in pockets. That's another silent protest that people who wear a badge do. But, you know, if they're going after them because they expressed their First Amendment right political views because they were in uniform, that's over the top and it's real close to political persecution.
Well, what if it was reversed? What if they stood up and cheered wholeheartedly saying, go get Trump, Letitia James, go get him? You know, that, you know, I don't know if the would they get in trouble for that?
Well, they wouldn't get in trouble in New York.
Yeah,
they get in trouble in a couple other locations, but again, it goes both ways. If you wear a uniform and you're a public servant, when you're wearing that uniform, you represent the department or the agency that employs you. So, you know, you have to show some decorum, you know, so you don't cheer like that. You don't boo like that. It's common sense. You serve everybody when you wear a badge, not just Republicans or Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and your right to vote in a secret ballot is your right to vote in a secret ballot. If you're not in uniform, cheer or boo away. God bless you.
Right. Well, you know, but of course, Letitia James, she ran on the idea of actually getting Trump. She wanted to become a public official primarily to go find something on somebody else. And that was her promise, you know, to the voters. But that sounds pretty biased anyway to begin with. It's a pretty bad situation in the New York subway system, but Hochul's trying to, I guess, manage the impact or the perception of this.
I guess she didn't get the memo from the Biden administration that crime's down. That is all we heard through the State of the Union, that crime is down. Violent crime is down. I don't know what the right's talking about. Violent crime is down. Except they're putting the National Guard in the subway system because crime is so bad in New York. So which one is it? I think we all know which one it is. But nobody's going to call Biden out on being a filthy liar because nobody in the media wants to ask a hard question.
Exactly. Well, I'll tell you what, we got a great question, I'm sure, coming up. We've got Anthony in Tampa, who's waiting on the telephone line. And we've also got Eric in Tennessee, who's also waiting, but we're going to go to Anthony right here and see what he has for you this morning. Frank, good morning, Anthony.
All right. Good morning, Kyle. Good morning, Frank. I, in the same manner as conservatives like Kevin Jackson, Carl Jackson, and Mr. Larry Elders, I have no apology in making the statement. I have zero empathy except the fact that his eternal destination for this guy who's occupying this White House. I know there's those conservative yappers on the radio who have some kind of piety in not calling out this guy for the evil that he espouses. This guy is evil. I mean, we look back before he was probably senator, and even when he was senator, just the bigotry he portrayed. I mean, when you look at the way he made a statement in 1977 about not having wanting his kids in these schools, what they called jungle beings, being black students. And then the old way he treated Clarence Thomas, you know, this guy is just showing, it's kind of hidden, but it still lingers within him. And I think it's the evil that is not being called out. I know we have conservative voices here in Tampa on the radio and those in national broadcasting that don't seem to want to call it these mainstream media outlets like Fox affiliates who are left-leaning, definitely left-leaning. Ever since 2016, mm-hmm. when Trump bounced their goddess, Hillary Clinton, off the election stage, they've been kind of holding back from calling out these stations. I'm glad you did this, Frank. These all 99% of the media is biased. Left-leaning. It's only a few voices out there, the conservative realm, that call it out as it is. And I'm thanking you for calling this guy out as it is, Frank. So thank you so much, because voices need to be spoken out for the sake of saving his nation.
Mm-hmm.
Trump is not a halo-wearing individual, But my goodness, he is definitely way better than what we have right now on the left. So thank you, Frank. Thank you, Kyle.
Hey, thank you, Anthony. Take care. Thanks for calling. Anthony in Tampa, everybody. Yeah, Frank, what do you think?
It's kind words. I appreciate
Absolutely.
Them. But he's right. Biden is a grifting used car salesman. That's what he is. That's what he is. I mean, he waffles with the polling, the sentiment. If all of a sudden the crowd turned on a dime to believe something that was absolutely opposite of what they came to hear, he would flip on a dime as well. He's got no conviction or principles. He says what he needs to say in order to gain influence and control. Otherwise, you know, what does he stand for? Can anybody tell me what he stands for in the 52 years he's been in public office? And through those 52 years, he's never held a real job.
Yeah, but he's got so much experience and he's so wise.
He's an idiot.
Right. Well, that's
he's a grifting idiot is what he is. And that's what it is. He is. Think about it. The quintessential comedy movie where you have a used car salesman. How is that character different than what we see coming out of the White House every time he opens his mouth?
Yeah. And what would be even scarier is that car salesman coming at you like he's hopped up on something, you know, some huge amphetamine or something. Who knows? Well, I'll tell you what, let's head to line number two.
Hey, at least I get a car from the used car salesman.
That's right. Well, I think you're right. All right. So let's head to line two. We got Eric in Tennessee. Good morning, Eric.
Gentlemen, thanks, Kyle. Thanks for taking my call. Good morning, Frank. Hey, real quick, that last caller to echo his sentiments. You know, and Joe Biden had to pull out of his first presidential run years ago back in late 80s because he got caught plagiarizing.
Yep.
He got removed for that. People should listen to some of his old Senate hearings when he was questioning people, Clarence Thomas and Ed Al, et cetera. That dude is just I almost let out some four-letter words. I said, yes, he would have fined you on it. But anyway, hey, Frank stole a little bit of my thunder, backing up a little bit, not to, you know, I guess birds of a feather flock together, so to speak, regarding the Palestinian situation, the Gaza and Israel and FJB's penchant for wanting to use military assets to provide, portable piers, temporary piers, in order to, quote, provide humanitarian assistance into Gaza. Now, if people can think carefully about this, that Frank's correct, that the Palestinians did use, under Yasser Arafat, were using recycling videos saying, oh, Lord, everybody's getting bombed out, Israel this, Israel that. And there was one incident that I think it went to the ICC, if I'm not mistaken, where they deliberately targeted a child running from one side of the, basically one side of the street to the other. Well, what they had done is edited the script, the video, and it looked like the kid was walking by itself. And the next scene, you know, there's something, God bless him, the kid's no longer there. Well, that was because this kid had come to find out when he showed the whole video, he's running munitions back and forth.
Absolutely.
I hate to say it. That's one of those dichotomies in warfare where did you engage because you support, you know, aiding the enemy or whatnot. So, and that's been, as I say, that's been going on. And here's the thing on the piers that they want to put in there. We do not have cognizant authority of the airspace in Gaza. Okay. We do not control. They're going to have to put boots on the ground. If they want to put helos in, they're going to have to put boots on the ground to perform what's called initial terminal guidance to call those birds in. They're going to have to secure LZs. They're going to have to make sure that those LZs are in areas that aren't subject to indirect mortar fire or other munitions that can reach out and touch them, so to speak. So they're going to build a pier. Everybody wants humanitarian assistance. I get it. Those truly innocent deserve it, okay? I mean, who doesn't want that? Here's my take on it. They're doing this because if people remember and think back just a few months back, Netanyahu was encouraging the Palestinians to be sent to the United States because the Egyptians and no Arab state wanted any of those refugees or those seeking refuge, if you will, those civilians. I'm of the opinion they're getting ready to set up for what's called a non-combatant evacuation operation, a NEO,
wow,
to truck those people out to ships to bring them to leapfrog them into the United States. It's an election year. And, right. and it was a salient point that Frank made that he meant to say the word illegal. That was a brilliant point. he meant to say it and then walk it back, because that gets the moderates that were kind of walking away. Oh, look, you know, he's kind of okay. He's saying this.
Yeah.
He's not such a bad guy.
So, Eric, I appreciate it. We want to give Frank a quick chance to respond.
Yeah, Ryan, thanks for my call. Good morning, gentlemen.
You too. Thanks, Eric. Yeah, Frank, we just got about 30 seconds. What do you think?
Yeah, I'll tell you, if in fact he's trying to actually move Palestinian civilians to the United States, there's going to be a pushback from at least half the nation here that is going to sound like a roar. You know, remember, 85% of the Palestinians voted for Hamas to be in power in Gaza. That means they're complicit into what is happening. So we're going to move people who support Hamas to the United States? I don't think so.
If you like the podcast, subscribe, leave a comment, rate it if your platform lets you. Be sure to head on over to undergroundusa.com to sign up for our Substack, which comes straight to you, circumventing the censors and the fact checkers, because we both know that they're worthless, and that's been proven over time. And be sure to pick up your copy of Nullification, the case for decentralizing the federal government, available in Kindle and paperback over at Amazon.com. You're listening to Underground USA. My name is Frank Salvato, and we will be back right after this.
This podcast is a production of the Compass Point Group.